Welcome to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Nethling. You are about to discover impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you, so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Be sure you visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com. While you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now tune in, get ready, and enjoy the journey of emerging as a leader of exception in the 21st century.
Welcome, everyone, to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast. I'm your host, Vicki Nethling, coming to you from Roswell, Georgia. The goal of this podcast is to bring topics and guests that will empower you to become that confident leader and take your business and your life to the next level. Today, I am very pleased to have Chelsea Husum as my guest. And let me tell you about Chelsea. She is a multi-passionate entrepreneur, author, soon-to-be podcast host, and as well as a busy mom of two young sons and a proud wife. She's all about dishing over real talk on life's curveballs, the trauma, the pain. She's been there, done that, and still slays. As a trailblazer in the male-dominated construction industry, Chelsea's story resonates with those facing challenges in various fields and can speak extensively to the grit it requires to create a successful startup industry or company. She knows that sharing over our triumphs over life's trials can extend a lifeline to others enduring similar struggles, reminding them they're not alone and that resilience can lead to a brighter future. She's not just a survivor. She's a force to be reckoned with. Buckle up, because Chelsea's here to show you how to turn trials into triumphs and come out on top, stronger and fiercer than ever. I thought the theme should just be resilience and overcoming adversity today. So please join me in welcoming Chelsea Husum.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I love the title and the fact that you're in construction and how we're somewhat aligned with that. But I always start with an easy question before we get into all of the meat of the podcast, and that is, tell everyone what part of the country you call home. Where do you live?
So I live near Denver, Colorado, just in a suburb about 20 minutes south.
So Denver, the home of my Toastmasters now.
Nice.
In Aurora. All right. So I gave some highlights of your life, but just share a little bit about your backstory of where, you know, you just get out of college and decide to take a path that's led you now to the journey that you're on today.
Yeah. And that's where kind of it started. So I have two bachelor degrees. I have a bachelor, broadcast journalism degree and a Spanish degree. So I was convinced I was going to be the next Barbara Walters till I found out I'd be making 20 grand working nights and weekends. And I was like, I don't know if I love that. So I got both degrees, and I actually came, I'm from South Dakota. I'm from a small town in South Dakota. I came out to Colorado to do my internship to finish my degree. And so I got that. Then the bills start coming, you know, 6 months later, the college loans are due. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I need a job. So I was kind of desperate for a job at that point. I started with a temp agency in Denver, and I would just work at different offices down there. And side note, a little scary, you put a small town South Dakota girl in Denver with all the one-way streets. It was a little frightening for me, and I definitely went down some the wrong way. But so I was at this temp agency, and the lady was like, hey, my sister works at a trade show, an experiential marketing company. She needs a receptionist. She wants to meet you. So I met her, and she was like, yep. Okay, let's do this. So I started working there. at, and really I worked there about 5 or 6 years and worked my way up through the company from receptionist to different assistants and an account manager and account executive. And it was a really great company. And I learned a lot, but like 5 years in, my soul started being like, am I doing anything worthwhile? Like that really matters. I didn't feel like it was. And it was pretty stressful too. And so I'm like, oh man, what do I want to do with my life? You know? And so I did some soul searching and I'm like, you know what? I want to be a Spanish teacher. I have a Spanish degree, but I was terrified to actually walk in and teach because I knew nothing about that. So I quit that job and I got my master's in education. And then I became a high school Spanish teacher for 10 years. So I did that. And I really did love it. Worked. I mean, the kids are fantastic. I still see them all over the country. It's so weird. You just run into them. You're like, wait, what are you doing here? So it's really, it touched my life. I learned a lot. And then the last year was kind of a kid one day called me an effing waste of space. And I was like, huh, tell me how you really feel about me. And I don't know what brought that on. And it just, it was not a good situation my last year. And I really didn't enjoy it. And I'm like, I'm doing a disservice. I can't stay in this if I'm not, if I don't love it, if my heart's not here. So again, I'm like, huh, now what am I going to do with my life? And I started applying for jobs. No one called me. No one called me at all. And I'm like, okay, I'm qualified. Like, I don't know if I'm overqualified, if they just don't like me, I don't know. And so I was desperate at that point to move on because I just was not happy. And so I took a job as an office manager for a small construction company, got thrown in, did not get training hardly at all. Cried a lot, was like, what is all of this? It's insane. But I learned trial by fire, just got thrown in. And then down the road, a couple years later, in March of 2020, I started my company because what else are we doing? You know, have my kids home, my husband's home. We're all, I mean, it was just chaos. But yeah, I didn't do much of 2020 with my construction company. But now, you know, we've over doubled every year and it's, I've learned a lot. And, but it's funny, I never grew up wanting to be an entrepreneur, but here I am and I love it. I love it so much. It's like weirdly through all this reinvention, I found what I meant to do.
Awesome. Such a great story.
Thank you.
So you do have a book that you was your passion project. I imagine this last year. So, and it's March 2024. What is the book all about?
Yeah. So it is called Real Vibes Only, Unapologetic Confessions of a Hot Mess Mompreneur. So it gives you a little, it's going to be sassy. It's going to be out there. I'm just telling the truth, you know, being vulnerable. But really it is about, I didn't have a plan to write a book and then I ended up doing it. And these stories just poured out of me. Like, and I, again, didn't have a direction for the book. They just, when I sat down to write, this is what it came out to be. And it's just a bunch of stories all over the place from my life. Some are really traumatic, some really intense things that I've gone through. Some are kind of in the middle and some are lighter, but it's all with the message of getting through adversity. We all, you know, when we all go through hard times, that's the one guarantee in this human experience. We will go through hard times, right? Mm-hmm. But it's when you're in it and you just don't even feel like you can go on, you don't know how you're going to make it through, to figure out how to make it through and how to take care of yourself, and you will make it through and you will come out more, you know, more fierce, more, you'll come out stronger on the other side. But when you're in it, it sure doesn't feel that way. So I really hope this book, you know, I hope people can get a good laugh at some of the stupid stuff I've done in life, learn the hard way. I hope maybe people, some people have cried, some people, you know, I hope people can feel seen and heard and say, maybe it's not the exact same story, but I understand that, you know, and feel some connection. And I think especially as women, we suffer in silence a lot. And we think there's this, oh, I have to be a perfect mom and perfect blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm sorry, but no. Look, that Instagram crap, I'm sorry, no. And it's just like, yeah, I'm a hot mess, but I'm trying my best. And I want to live a fulfilled, happy life. I make mistakes. I'm authentic. I'm real. I'm out there. But that's the only way to live life and give others permission to say, you know, don't let that stuff, that trauma from your childhood or from in college or whenever hold you back, own it and move on and learn from it and grow from it. And then go out and share your message so other people can know they're not alone and, you know, feel that they can go on when they're in it.
So true. So you started your company just a short while ago. What makes your company different besides the obvious that you're a woman in construction?
Yeah. So, I mean, women in construction make up about 10% and then owners are far, far less. I guess what makes mine different is I do things my way. I'm honest. One of my employees says I'm the best boss he never had because he's like, you actually care about us in the field. He's like, I've worked for all the big companies in town. No one cared about us. You do. And you go out of your way to let us know that. I send them birthday cards, anniversary cards. We go out for a big Christmas dinner every year. We just laugh all night. One thing that I know is different. I pay my employees 40 hours a week, whether they're working or not, because I need really good people. And obviously everyone has to make a living. And so I know that being a small company, sometimes you're super busy. Sometimes you're not as busy, right? But I need to offer my employees consistency and earning a good living so that they can work for me. Because you know what I mean? If sometimes they don't work that day, but they're still getting paid. So I know that that's what I have to do to take care of them so that I have good people. So, they're like, no one would do that. Like, you're literally the only one that does that. I'm like, well, it's just a different market. Being a small company, it's hard. We all know how hard it is to hire literally anyone now. I don't know where all these people went. I don't know if they're all closet millionaires or what, but it's just hard enough to hire people, let alone good quality people. So, I definitely do that. I give them a lot of vacation right off the bat. They don't have to earn it. Like, why things don't need to be more difficult than just to make my life difficult. You know what I mean? So I let them, they rarely work over 40 hours. The whole point is to enjoy your life and live your life. And they're happier for that. I'm happier for it. It's just we've kind of just created this really cool company and just this good like vibe and culture where everyone feels if something's not going well, we talk about it and we can change it immediately. So it's been really cool that I still wake up like, what? I'm the boss. My 7-year-old's like, Mom, you're the boss. I'm like, oh yeah, I am.
That's so cool. So we're talking about resilience and overcoming adversity. So share some of the challenges that you've had to overcome being a woman in construction. You said about the low percentage, but I know for me, being in a transportation company for years, and when I first started, it was a very male dominated, and there the whole mindset of what you as a woman can do, perceived can do, sometimes is a little skewed. So talk about some of the challenges you might have had.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel I haven't had major, major challenges in my entrepreneur journey. I know, luckily, I've met a lot of women that have been working in construction for 30 years, 20 years. Some of them own companies that are doing multi-millions and millions and millions a year. So they are the ones that really paved the way and probably dealt with a lot of the tougher things than I do. And it's, I'm not like on a job site every day. So that would be a whole different ballgame. Right. But really I look at it as an advantage. I feel like I'm very honest and open with our clients and our, and our company and things like that. And so I think luckily I've really have been respected in that. And I haven't, I've definitely felt adversity or, struggles learning it. I had to learn the hard way. I asked a lot of my friends that run successful companies for advice along the way, cause they've been there, done that. And I Googled a lot and there were a lot of tears late at night in my office, but really for me, my adversity has come from personal life, but I feel like it's part of my story and it makes me just a better person overall, really.
Yeah, you can tell from your passion that you had that resilience, that knowing that, okay, you could knock me down, but I am going to get back up.
Yeah, I've learned the hard way, definitely. Yeah.
So looking at social media sites, it's apparent that you're really all about community and family, and that's so important to you. So how has this helped with your success? And I think, you know, some of it you just described and in the way you run your business, but talk to us about how community, you know, how are you giving back to the community as a business owner to help them understand that they're not just someone that's a paycheck number or something, but that you're doing something to make the world better.
I'm really passionate about that in general. I think I've always done that just in life. And I think we all need to. I am all about, like, I adopted numerous families this holiday through different construction companies, mine and others, which I just love that, you know, when the school social workers are calling and, you know, they know the families that need help. So I love doing that. And actually I take my kids with me to buy the stuff and we talk about it and we, you know, talk about how blessed we are and not everyone lives, you know, like this. And that's really important to me that they understand that. I'm also on the board of directors of STEM Blazers. And so that is, it's a nonprofit trying to get women into STEM fields. And so I've been really blessed to, they do all kinds of different programs in schools around, Colorado. And actually they've branched out to other states now, but I've been blessed to work with some of those girls and, you know, some of them are coming from really tough upbringings and life circumstances. And, but this is like shining a light and they're getting so excited about this stuff saying, wow, I never even knew this was an option. I didn't think of, you know, construction or engineering or this or that. So it's, you know, that's really powerful. Being a former teacher, I love inspiring girls to say, hey, you know, whether it's STEM or whatever out there, potentially male dominated fields, like there's a whole world out there that was never shown to or told to us when we were little. So, you know, that's cool to see their eyes light up and sparkle and they get excited about it. So yeah, those are a few of the things that I try to do a lot and any other associations I'm involved in. I mean, I'm always about giving back or doing things like that for the community.
So good. So you have two boys.
I do.
And you're construction company, an author, a speaker, and soon to be a podcast host. We talk about resilience and adversity, and some of that comes from our own heads. As how do you avoid or manage overwhelm?
Well, it's okay. A side note, yesterday someone, and I know you've heard this, as you go towards your dreams and things like that, sometimes the people closest to you are going to say some things, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So I just find this funny because yesterday I was with someone very close to, in my circle, right? And they just, I didn't say anything. And they just looked at me. They're like, in my opinion, you're doing too much, in my opinion. And I was like, if I could go back, it caught me off guard. And then I started to try to justify all the things I'm doing. And then I'm like, why am I don't need to do that. And honestly, it takes a village. I am doing a lot. Yes. All women are doing a lot. If you're a mom, if you're an entrepreneur, us women do a lot. So you have to find your tribe. If you need help, you got to ask for it. Sometimes like last weekend, my husband was traveling. I had one kid at hockey, one kid supposed to be at basketball. I'm like, I can't physically be there. Can someone help me take him? You know, I mean, I asked for help. I think you have to take care of yourself. There's a stigma about being a woman. Oh, it's selfish if we take care of ourselves. No, that's absolutely not okay. Yeah. We will be so much better in every facet of life if we actually take care of ourselves. So it's, you know, are you working out? I get up really early in the morning and then I go to bed at 9 because I'm an old lady and I love it, but I get up really early and I go work out first thing in the morning because my phone starts ringing at 7 a.m. for construction. And then my day is crazy. I try to eat better. I just recently, like, I think it was December 28th, I quit drinking and I didn't drink a lot. I drank pretty little, but I was finding, you know, we all have, oh, I need a glass of wine to relax. Well, I'd have two glasses of wine and I'd have a horrible headache the next day, horrible all day long till I went to bed. And I'm like, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to feel bad. And then I'm getting cranky with my kids. And then I skip the gym because I have a headache. And then I eat a big double cheeseburger, which I do love double cheeseburgers. I eat them a lot. But it's like, it just derailed. I was like, that's the one thing that I was thinking about that completely derailed all my other healthy habits, all of them. I'm like, then why am I doing that? Mm-hmm. And so that was once a personal choice I just made. I feel great. It's looking at who are you spending your time around? What are you doing? Are you moving? Are you getting out in the sunshine, breathing the fresh air? When I'm overwhelmed, I'm sitting in my office like, oh, my brain is like fried. It's just over here humming. And I'm like, I literally take my dog and I go walk outside and I look up at the sky and I force myself to breathe and be like, chill out. Just bring it down a notch. You're in there like, oh, this is so crazy. You know, everything's just, you know, so intense. And I'm like, no, just chill out. It's fine. You know? So it's, I think, and also having boundaries lately. Well, I've noticed everybody, all the bankers and all the insurance people want to have coffee with me, like all of them. Oh, hey, I just want to meet you to get to know you and how I can support you. And while that's sweet, no, I don't have time. It's a waste of my time. Truly it is. And I kindly decline at this point. I used to always take them. And then I'm like, I'm not switching insurance and I'm not switching banks. Like, this is pointless, you know? So it's like having a boundary, or if there's a work event, if going to that event is not moving my business forward, or like a really major connection or something, or align with my soul, and I'm like, yes, I want to be there. If it's like a charity event, I'll be there. But like saying no to those, and no is a complete sentence. We always, you're probably like this. Oh, we're so nice and we just feel bad. You know, you gotta put boundaries up at some point. And so as I'm getting busier and busier, I have to do that. You have to take care of yourself. Look at your habits, look at who and how you're spending your time. And and you'll have those naysayers, like as we grow and are out doing our stuff, man, they're going to come even more, right? They're going to test you. And it's like, have you done enough self work to say, okay, that's more about you than me. Move on.
Yeah, that's so true. So rapid fire.
Okay.
What do you most want or wish that your audience will take away from our conversation today?
I would say inspiration and permission to own their story and not feel shame or guilt.
So, what is your favorite place to go with your family in Denver?
Ooh, in Denver. Dang, I was going to say Mexico, but in Denver. Well, I like to go ice skating a lot. My little one plays hockey, so we go skate as a family. It's pretty fun.
That's fun. Yeah. All right. It's time for me to share my screen now for those of you that are listening and you want to get to know a little bit more about Chelsea. You can take a screenshot. If you're just listening, I will have all this information on my YouTube channel as well as my findyourleadershipconfidence.com. But if you have a paper and pencil handy, as you should have, you can write this down in a moment, her website information. So her website is just her name. So it's https://// Chelsea, that's CHELSEAHUSUM.com. Okay, ChelseaHusum.com. Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, you can find her by searching her name. I'm going to turn it over to Chelsea to talk to you about some of the things that she has on her website that might help you.
Yes. So if you want to check out ChelseaHusum.com, And on there, there should be a little pop-up. I send out periodic emails. I'm always throwing some goodies in there, things that I actually use that inspire me, help me to live my best life. So I'd love to do that. I'm working on getting a free chapter of my book on there as well. And a bunch of other goodies. I'm just trying to put those on my to-do list. So yeah, there will definitely be a lot of goodness coming. And really, I just like to spread positivity, good vibes, and how we all can live our most fulfilled life.
Excellent. So definitely you want to go to that website and bookmark that, because it's, as she said, there's more to come.
Yep.
You want to make sure you just keep in contact with her. Go to Facebook and LinkedIn, especially to be able to connect with her, so that you also can be alerted as to all the things that are coming, especially if you can get that free chapter of the book. Well, Chelsea, it's been great chatting with you, and such wonderful success that you've been having as a woman in construction. And I think it's really wonderful that you are promoting also the STEM, because there's been far too long where women just were thinking of their careers in terms of teacher, nurses, and things like that. But especially in construction and those different aspects of engineering, I think a wonderful place for a young woman to dip her toe in there and really make a difference.
Yeah. And I mean, you can make a great living, plumbing, electricians, engineering. I mean, there are so many things that pay fairly well. You get an amazing career out of it. And yeah, it's, I hope more girls start jumping on the bandwagon there.
Yeah. That'd be cool to have in your company. You know, these are my plumbers, my electricians, all female kind of team. That would be,
That would be cool.
So cool.
That would. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you allowing me to come share with your audience.
My pleasure. It was great meeting you. And as always, I remind everyone, life is a journey, and it's up to you to enjoy the ride. This is Vicki Nethling signing off.
Thank you for tuning into the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Nethling, where we share impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you, so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Remember to visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast.